Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. We're glad that you've tuned into the program again this week. In our program, we'll be continuing with our discussion that we've been having the past few weeks on Revelation chapter 14, the three angels' message. But first, I'd like to share with you a song entitled Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven by David Chafe, a well-known local artist. Our topic for today is America in Bible prophecy. When we look at the United States, we see their slogan of One Nation Under God found within their Pledge of Allegiance. On their currency, we see In God We Trust. So we see that in the American system, God is often referred to in many ways as being a religious nation. And you're probably wondering, how does this tie in to our discussion on the three angels' messages, specifically the third angel's message? Well, stay tuned, and in today's program, you will find out. And just to refresh your memory, we'd like to start by reading the third angel's message again, found in Revelation 14, verses 9 to 12.
And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with the fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus."
So here, once again, we see much information shared in this third angel's message. We read about the mark of a beast, the image of the beast, the Lamb, the commandments, the faith of Jesus. But in order to understand any of this, we must understand what the beast is. Now, in last week's program, when we were identifying the beast, we went to Revelation chapter 13 and Daniel chapter 7. And in Revelation chapter 13, we read through many of the identifying features and tried to compare it with historical references and documents and with what the Bible has to say. And the Bible clearly identifies the beast of Revelation 13, the same beast referred to in the three angels' message of Revelation 14, as the papal church. The Bible is clear on that, and we identified the system that exists. It doesn't talk about the people within the system, but it's the system that has been set up. Now, in this week's program, we wanted to start in Revelation 13, verse 11, because Revelation 13 not only refers to one beast, it refers to a second beast that makes an image to the first beast. So as we mentioned, that the first beast referred to in Revelation 13 being the papacy. What is this second beast, or who is this second beast that is referred to? And perhaps, Mario, you can refresh our memories and go back to identifying what does a beast actually represent in scriptures, in Daniel 7, verse 23.
Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces." So here, Paul, we see it identifying that the beast is a kingdom over a nation on the earth.
And it's interesting, in this Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "another beast coming up out of the earth." Mm-hmm. Now, I have to look at that, because in the previous beast of Revelation 13, we see it in decline because it receives a deadly wound, mm-hmm. and we see one rising here.
Yes, and we can actually, you know, in 1798, is that's when, you know, General Berthier inflicted a deadly wound upon the papacy when he took the Pope captive. So we have that deadly, you know, in time. And not only that, as we've been looking at from the 1260 years, as it was given a time where this apostate church would actually inflict and persecute God's people, that right that 1798 is when the Pope was taken captive and he lost its political power. He still remained as a church. But as we know, that the Vatican has the two, being a religious and a political system.
And it's interesting, Pope John Paul II referred to that time period after receiving the deadly wound as the popes being prisoners within the Vatican, because they were no longer a political force at the time.
No.
Now, as we spoke about last week, it said the deadly wound was healed. We'll get into that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But here we see the political power of the papacy on decline, but this other beast is rising. What beast do we see rising in the world, a world power rising during that time period?
Well, as we read in Revelation 13:11, it says, "And he came out of the earth." And the earth, again, you know, we looked before, water symbolized a multitude of people and tongues, and we identify that as being, you know, the Europe. This new nation will be rising from a desolate place, a place that is not very heavily populated.
But yeah, it's interesting because Revelation 17:15 talks about the sea representing a multitude of people.
Mm-hmm.
But this nation, which is rising, is coming out of the earth. And it's interesting, the Bible specifically makes reference about the earth as opposed to the sea.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's interesting if you look at the American history here, you know, this new power that emerges, you'll find the United States declared its independence in 1776, voted the Constitution in 1787, adopted the Bill of Rights in 1791, and was clearly recognized as a world power by 1798. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
You know, not before or after, but this was leading up to 1798 to show us that we can trust God's word.
Yeah, so we see the first beast receiving a deadly wound in 1798, but this other beast rising into power to take over the world dominance was just rising during that same time period.
Mm-hmm.
And just to go back on the fact that it rose out of the land, when we see the United States rising, it came out of a very sparsely populated land. You know, we see pilgrims, people immigrating from other countries around the world, from Europe, you know, fleeing persecution, you know, seeking freedom. And it was a very, very sparsely populated land compared to what it is now. So the first two identifying features, the fact that it rose during the fall of the previous beast and the fact that it rose from a sparsely populated land are the first two indicating features that it's pointing to the United States of America.
But also the Bible talks about how God's church, his woman, was fled into the wilderness during this persecuting time, which is very fascinating that, you know, we use the same word as wilderness as a place that is not very populated.
Yeah, and that persecuting period, which we've referred to a number of times, is the 1,260 years of Bible prophecy ending in the year 1798. Those years of persecution, the people were fleeing to what was a wilderness area, being the North America, United States. Now, verse 11 of Revelation 13 also gives us additional identifying features of this beast that is rising out of the land. And it says of that beast, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon.
Hmm.
A very stark contrast here. What did the two horns represent?
Well, again, the horns, as we saw before when I look up Daniel 7:24, 8:21, identifies king or kingdoms or governments. And in this case, we have the two horns. There's no crowns on them, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. America's two governing principles, civil and religious liberty. That's what it was founded on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these things comes out as also been referred to republicanism, a government without a king, and Protestantism, a church without a pope. So, you know, it was a very, how should I say, a new nation that has another identifying here as we read, that it was like a lamb, you know, had horns like a lamb.
And there's a significance to the fact that there's no crown on the horns.
No.
Because when we looked at the first beast of Revelation 13 and we compared it to Daniel 7, the horn of that beast wore a crown. The crown representing the fact that it was a monarchy. Whereas the setup of the United States was different. It would be more of a democratic society, that there would be, you know, freedoms within society, that it would be governed more by the people as opposed to by a dictatorship when it was set up. So it's interesting, the Bible is very clear that this beast that's rising would be different, and it makes a point to highlight the differences in this nation compared to the previous beast, the previous Roman papal system that was in place.
And also, you know, I always think of so far we've been looking at different animals. And, you know, what comes to my mind is the bison. You know, it looks like a lamb. And if John is trying a vision here, trying to describe something, you know, it's very, very fitting as a lamb with two horns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just physical, but obviously we've seen here what it means. Contrast to what people were fleeing from this persecuting power that was, you know, in Europe at the time.
Yeah. But it seems rather deceptive because we see it, you know, it looks like a lamb, but it speaks like a dragon. Mm. Now, up to this point so far, I mean, the Bible is very clear at identifying the power and what has taken place. And Bible prophecy, you know, is sure to come into play and be fulfilled. And what the Bible prophesies what will take place in the United States is, well, I guess a few years ago would have been shocking, mm-hmm. but in what we see taking place over the past few years, it seems more apparent that, you know, the Bible is true. The Bible will fulfill what it says. A prophecy will come to pass. Because some of the things it says about speaking like a dragon do sound quite dramatic, mm-hmm. and a little bit unsettling. But, you know, as God warns people of this, you know, God also gives people assurances that, you know, He is always with His people, mm-hmm. and that He will see them through, and His hand will be upon them, because, you know, God in His loving ways always wants to protect His people, but to warn people as to what is coming about, so that they know what's going to happen before it comes to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of these features now, Mary, if we start in verse 11, look into 12 and 13, as to how this beast, the United States, will speak as a dragon?
Well, we see in Revelation 13:12 here, and that, you know, he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell in to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. You know, he says exercise all the power of the first beast before him.
Now, the first beast, mm-hmm. again, which we referred to, in, well, we dedicated last week's program,
yes.
to identifying the papacy,
mm-hmm.
Exercising all the power, and also to worship that first beast. So we have to have, it's interesting because, you know, the American system was based on Protestant principles.
Mm-hmm.
But here we see sort of a paradigm shift taking place over the years, forcing people to worship on the same system that the papacy endorses. And we see more and more of that all the time, because the American system has gone from a Protestant way of thinking to really an apostate Protestantism,
mm-hmm.
Which they seem to be in right now. And there's certainly a lot more, you know, papal way of thinking within their governing system than there was, you know, even just in recent years. And it's important how it talks about the healing of the deadly wound. I know we have some information there, much information we can share on that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just come to my mind, you know, we think of the healing wound, but even recently in 2002, November 15, there was a special speech by John Paul II. And there was an article written by Nicole Winfield of Associated Press, and the title was Italy and Roman Catholic Church Have Healed Wounds. And in that, John Paul II refers back to 1929, February 11, 1929, when Pope Pius XI, where Mussolini and Pope Pius XI signed this letter pact, which brought into being the Vatican City State. And it received its, you know, its power and so on,
and authority,
as, authority as a country, as a state now.
So it received a deadly wound in 1798 when it was taken captive.
Mm-hmm.
It lost its political power. It maintained its religious power, but we see a healing of this deadly wound taking place in 1929, February 11th, in which it received once again its political power. So again, it fills Bible prophecy just to a T. It fits perfectly.
Yeah, not just that. You know, Paul, it's interesting that it counterfeits Christ's ministry. And when Jesus was crucified and died, you know, he was resurrected. And I always look at this. It's interesting that you have a seemingly, you know, a death. And now there's a resurrection in terms of this wound being healed, you know, and being prominent again in power. But it works contrary to what Christ said and in His Word.
Mm-hmm. And even with regards to a political power, we only have to think back to the recent months, and we saw the death of Pope John Paul II. The actual political power, the leaders of the world coming together, sort of in paying homage at his funeral. We see that the ties, the links between the United States and the Vatican, which 2-3 decades ago would have been unheard of with American people. Mm-hmm. But now it's completely acceptable.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it comes to my mind is what you mentioned, the funeral of John Paul II, is that you have three American presidents, you know, kneeling in front of his coffin. And I thought it was, you know, George Bush dad, George Bush and Clinton. And I thought that was such a, you know, stood in my mind that not just leaders from the, all the, you know, Christian world, but you had religious leaders from all various, faiths who came there to pay their respect. Even in Syria, which has been deemed as a, you know, the terrorism place of all things, and Syria and the president came there as well. So I mm-hmm. think it's fascinating. But then, a few years later, we have Ronald Reagan passed away. You mm-hmm. know, it was very fascinating too. They brought back the biggest event in our modern history of the coming down of the Berlin Wall and the communism. And the ones who they brought back in this interview was Reagan and John Paul II. Yeah. And I thought it was interesting how God wants us to know these things, and he brings through this news media as these leaders pass away mm-hmm. of things that they were involved. Maybe at one point under secrecy, now things are coming out in the surface
yeah.
and showing that we can trust what God said.
Because even during that period, you know, Time magazine carried the article of, you know, the so-called unholy alliance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the secular media was picking up on the fact that there is now an alliance between the United States and the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, one that, you know, the Protestant, you know, multitude of United States would not have allowed, decades ago, but have, you know, get that paradigm shift again, where that it's completely acceptable nowadays.
Mm. And, you know, we see later on here in the, you know, in 12 here, this brings something else. Deadly wound was healed. And, you know, it's the America says to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, which had the wound by sword and did live. So the United States will be the prominent in enforcing this legislative religious practice mm-hmm. into, you know, the whole world following.
Sure, because it says that, you know, this second beast exercises all the power of the first beast before him. And we see the power of the first beast, how it was a persecuting nation, and persecuted God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, prior to September 11th, it would have been less evident that this could take place. But since September 11th, and the things that have fallen into place, the liberties that, you know, the American people once enjoyed mm-hmm. are not so slowly being eroded away, and that they have so much less flexibility in how they can do things and the freedoms that they have. And it will come to the point that they will, be very limited in how and when they can worship.
But it's not just United States, Paul. We've seen this in Canada and other parts of the world where this is spilling over, you know,
mm-hmm.
And people are giving up certain privacy and religious, you know, other mm-hmm. Rights that they have. So it's mm-hmm. an under the garb of, well, we need to protect us against these terrorists.
Yeah. In Revelation 13:12 also says, causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So here we see them enforcing it, not just within their nation, but globally.
Mm-hmm.
And again, over recent events that we see take place in, Afghanistan, Iraq, and other countries around the world, that the United States carries a lot of weight in how they enforce things and try to implement a so-called, I guess, democratic style of way of thinking.
And, you know, in Revelation 13:14, it says, and he deceived them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Deception is very prominent here, you know. Something is done behind the scenes. People might not, you know, be always aware of what's happening, but there's a deception that's being played out here to deceive them. And in 15 says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. You know, and it says the image, that the image, the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. very dragon-like language here, Paul, that they're forcing a worship. And God's does not, God's contrary to God's way. God draws people, and he wants everyone to have the choice to follow him by love, but not by enforcing a worship.
Yeah, you know, we look at what the Bible has to say here, it almost takes us back to the Dark Ages. You know, what took place then, the persecution, because, you know, people wanted to you know, worship as they saw fit, as opposed to being dictated to, really.
And it's fitting to, you know, we use the word Babylon the Great, you know, because Babylon was where they incorporated all different nation, all different religious system into one. But it was all King Nebuchadnezzar under one man was supposed to be give allegiance and worship to.
Yeah, it's interesting too that you refer to King Nebuchadnezzar from Daniel, the book of Daniel, in which you know, he called all the leaders, the thought leaders in his kingdom into the plain of Dura, and he created this image and he called upon them to bow down. You know, when the music sounded, they all had to bow down. But it was a few, there was three that we know of in that story that refused to bow down. And upon them was implemented the death decree. But interesting, God delivered those three faithful individuals. So, you know, history repeats itself.
Yes.
You know, there's, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So when we look at what's taking place in the world that right now, we certainly see a change in the way of thinking that, that's taking place within, you know, governments in the world. We see some drastic changes taking place in the world since September the 11th, you know, within the United States. And we can think, you know, we can almost ask ourselves, how could we get to the point where we lose all the freedoms that we have, especially freedoms, to worship as we are comfortable with?
Also, as we are ready to close this first half program, Paul, I just want to bring this interesting fact that Pope Benedict, he chose that name. His name is, you know, Ratzinger, but he chose that name when he became Pope just because the previous Benedicts had one aim, and that was to unite Europe under one religious body, and not just Europe, but the whole world in various religions to come under and have the papacy, really, as one man, and the moral leader of the whole world.
So the name certainly has a meaning. Every name has a meaning. And that's interesting because we could look at the world and say, how could it be possible that we would be forced to worship under one system? You know, we look at the world now, it's so diverse with regards to the many the belief systems that are out there. How could it be possible to force the world to have a universal belief? And there's many things that can act as a catalyst. We can see that there's certain things in the world that have acted as catalysts over the past 5-6 years. But some of the ones that exist are, you know, terrorist activities, riots, escalating crime and evil, perhaps, you know, the drug wars that exist in the world, a major economic crash, something that drastic, you know, could easily force, you say, the United States, you know, to implement a system where they say, oh, we've got to get back to God. We've, you know, we've turned from him. We have to worship him again, and this is how we will worship him, and decree it upon the earth, not just their own nation, which the Bible says will happen. It will be decreed upon the earth. Other things that can be a catalyst, health epidemics, nuclear threats from radical nations, political corruption, gross miscarriage of justice by the courts. What else is there? Some of the gross immorality that's taking place in the world these days. Global disasters.
Oh, yes.
You know, you look at some of the global disasters that have happened, you know, within the past couple of years. You know, global warming, they, you know, they could easily turn that issue into a situation where they could, you know, cause the world to worship in a universal way. There's just so many out there. You know, the question is, which one will it be? Or will it be all of them that culminate together? Well, we've come to an end of our program. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. I invite you to tune in again on our program, in which we'll continue our discussion on the Three Angels message. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.